and I was no more dumb. And we usually use the word dumb to speak of unintelligent, but I think you know that the word dumb means you can't speak for whatever reason, psychologically or physically. I was no more dumb. God had earlier dealt with him, Ezekiel 24, 26 to 27. He that escapeth, again talking about those who had escaped from Jerusalem, in that day shall come unto thee. There in Babylon, outside of Babylon, outside of the city of Babylon, where Daniel was, to cause thee to hear it in thine ears. In that okay. In that day shalt thou mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb. Thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So he says, I'm preparing you for a little miracle. And that is, I'm going to take away your speech, evidently your common speech, your speech with, you know, to the milkman and stuff like that. Couldn't speak. Have to use signs, have to write things down. And so they would introduce, this is our dumb prophet. This is the prophet who can't speak. Kind of difficult to maintain that job, isn't it? And then he will speak to them. So the dumbness he experienced, as I said, seems to be his inability to speak in everyday conversation. He was able to speak only when God filled his mouth with words, and now he would be able to engage the people in normal conversation. And this would be a miracle. They'd say, now he can speak, and God is speaking through him. I suppose that my tendency not to be able to feel comfortable just chit-chatting with people. I don't know very much about things. So unless they're talking to me about the Bible or magic, it seems like I don't have that much to say. People say, hey, did you hear that about those Colts? And so on. I've heard of them. Did they play? Remind me, is that basketball? So then, when I'm watching sports with family, I kind of lean over and I say, who are we for? So then I know who to cheer for. But all of that to say, I often, around other people, am the quiet one. And that's fine with me. That doesn't bother me. My wife and her sisters, they get together to talk about things to see how they feel. And I have to see how I feel before I can talk about it. It's just, to me, it's just backwards. But there's some advantage to being the quiet one who can hear and acknowledge and answer a question if asked and so on. And that's what God had done with him. But then, I want you to imagine being Ezekiel and maybe the frustration with not being able to order the rye bread sandwich that you really wanted because you can't talk, you know, and you have to draw pictures and little caraway seeds. Can you picture that? And but what would it be like when these people come and you feel, as he said, the hand of the Lord was upon him in the evening and had opened my mouth? To know God is working in you. And that's what I'd like to exercise your imagination, a holy imagination, to think of God putting his hand upon you to open your heart, to open your mouth. God's hand of judgment. In our day, the hand of the Lord may come upon us in judgment. If so, consider the reason for it. Humbly bear the rod and him who wields it. Who's doing the punishing? God's doing the punishing. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Without confessing, without forsaking, God does not deal with you in mercy. He deals with you in chastisement, to spank you, to make you better, to attach pain to the wrong you did. If he chastises me, let me deal with it completely in my heart before I receive his chastening. If he is going to spank me, let me confess it completely, and perhaps the chastening will be less. 1 John 11:31, that we read at the Lord's Supper, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Let us be quick to recognize our sin. Let us be very quick to acknowledge our sin and not try to justify it, not try to pretend like it was not a bad thing. So if I'm too late to prevent the chastisement, let me acknowledge his righteousness and submissively submit to the correction that I might profit by it. When I would spank my children, I would say to them, because I had heard the children that would scream so loudly that the parent would be really sad that they tried to spank them, you know. They were overpowering the will of the parents just by screaming. And I said, I'm going to spank you until you're crying and crying softly. You will neither grit your teeth and not cry, nor will you scream to try to make me sorry I started this. I'm going to continue to spank. And I always was impressed by my son Paul, who, as soon as I would say that, began crying softly. So I could stop first swat, you know, that's all that was needed. And I wanted to be like that with God. I wanted to acknowledge that he was righteous. Let's view it this way, Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening, spanking, for the present seemeth to be joyous. Yay, I'm getting spanked. No. But grievous, it feels grievous. It seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. If you participate in the process, you agree with the process, you submit to that process, then you are exercised by it. You have learned the lesson. The spanking doesn't have to continue. The spanking doesn't have to happen again. My wife, growing up, got to an age where she said, I don't like this spanking. I'm just never going to get a spanking again. So she just stayed the one who, and among eight kids, it wasn't widely known that one of them wasn't getting spanked a lot. And there was a time when she mentioned it to her mother. She said, well, when was the last time you spanked me? Back when I was such and such an age. He says, how is that possible? I just determined that it's not going to happen again. She learned that lesson. She was exercised thereby. I wasn't that smart. But the thing that I really wanted to share with you is what happened to Ezekiel, and that is God's hand of strengthening. And this is where I would like for us to focus. The hand of the Lord may come upon us in strengthening our soul and lifting our spirit upward toward eternal things. If we get all down, we're looking down. We're looking at the things that are stumbling us and giving us problems and so on. But if his hand strengthens us, it lifts us out of ourselves. This is the sense of his divine presence. Bears your soul toward heaven as on the wings of eagles. Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John standing before Christ, the risen Christ, the glorified Christ. This was not the one who he leaned back on his breast to ask him a question when he was reclined at the table there. This wasn't John who reached out to help Jesus up a hill, or Jesus helped him up a hill, you know. But he was glorious. He was glowing. He was God. And he said, I fell at his feet as dead. And then he did something. He laid his right hand upon me. I like it that he said his right hand. The hand of blessing. Saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the same Jesus you knew. This hand of the Lord fills us with spiritual joy. This has perhaps happened to you in private prayer, or perhaps in reading the scripture, perhaps meditating on scripture, the thoughts of scripture. For the moment we lose our cares and our sorrows, and God gives us a sacred time of divine communion, this is just loving each other. Have you done that with your parents or with a dear one? You just be there and enjoy the company and share little stories. We did that a lot when the kids were home at Christmas. But I'll say to you, I often ask for his hand of strengthening. I ask for it. The world has its effect on me. My graces diminish. My temptations rage. My faith weakens. My devotional love grows cold. And I beg for his strengthening hand. I don't like being where I am. I need my heart warmed, my faith strengthened, and his grace, his empowering at full force. So let me ask, what might keep God's hand from coming on you tonight? Spending time in prayer is not you standing down on earth and God listening far, far, far away in heaven. This is God right next to you. This is God, the Holy Spirit, within you, listening and speaking those thoughts into the language of God, into God the Father's ear or his heart. You might be strengthened, encouraged, lifted, even tonight. So ask your Father for his strengthening hand. If you recognize that's possible, ask for it. Let him know that you would like that. Realize he loved you enough to let his own son die to bring about your adoption into his family. That's a deep love. That's a committed love. And so I say, may you feel that same hand on you, which once touched Ezekiel and opened his mouth to speak the praises and the power of our holy God. Let's look forward to that.